council come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Fritz? Here. Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Adams? Leonard?
Here. Commissioner Saltzman and Mayor Adams are excused for city business. Communications, Wendy Ann Wright.
Item 133, request of Wendy Ann Wright to address council regarding institutionalized corruption within the local government.
Good morning. Please give your name. You have 3 minutes.
Good morning, council. My name is Wendy Ann Wright. I currently am homeless, so I don't reside anywhere stable. So I sit here today with a number of concerns, some of which I hope my city council members can help me understand or we can work together to improve. When I was arrested by the Portland State University campus, I was detained for 7 hours and let go at 10 p.m. on a Friday night. I'm wondering why it is policy I was not given back the keys to my home, my phone, and my primary mode of transportation, my bicycle, until Monday. Okay, now check this out. The charges have been dismissed, but I'm still trespassed from Portland State University buildings, which means I can't go to the city archives where I need to go for work that I have now. I did want to let you know that I've filed with the Bureau of Labor and Industry against Portland State University, so that's coming along. And then, I'm also trespassed from my son's school for talking back to the principal, Molly Chun. I'm currently appealing this trespass, but nobody at Portland Public Schools told me for months this was even an option. I want to say something specifically to Sam Adams. I wish he was here. Mayor Adams, you need to resign because A, you lied when running for mayor. B, you let the media drag Beau Breedlove's name through the mud. And C, when I spoke out against the system and came to you as the commissioner of police, you did nothing for me. Basically, council, I feel like my civil liberties have been raped, stomped on, chewed up, and spit out. I am legally homeless, unemployed, and have not seen my son, Linus Kahlo. He was 9 years old and in fourth grade at Boise Elliott. I haven't seen him since October 11th. All of this is because I spoke out against institutional corruption and oppression. That doesn't seem very fair, and I appreciate any assistance my council can provide me. Lastly, I wanted to make a plug for a great event tonight at Kaiser Town Hall. I've given copies to Council Clerk for all of you. It's called Portland's Lost Black Neighborhoods. It's my research study and something that I think is really important. So I encourage all of you to attend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. And the mayor's in Spain, as you, so he's not going to be able to do the opening of that event, so okay. I get the honor of doing that. And perhaps you and I could talk a little after that, too.
That would be wonderful. Thank you, Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you. Carla, please read the time certain.
Item 134, accept Human Rights Commission 2010 report to the community.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, President Leonard. It's my joy and honor to welcome the Human Rights Commission here this morning to give us their annual report. The Human Rights Commission is a very special entity appointed by the City of Portland, but advisory to the whole community as well as to the council, and independent, staffed by Maria Lisa Johnson, the Director of the Office of Human Relations, and doing amazing work as volunteers and leaders in our community. The Human Rights Commission plays a key role in furthering the human rights and social justice agenda for Portlanders, and the commission is made up of a very committed and diverse group of Portlanders who volunteer hundreds of hours every year for this important work. And they're going to give you some of the highlights of their work. Some of the things that I've particularly been helped by is their work with the Community and Police Relations Committee. You'll hear some more about that. Advocating for citizens who are here and need help with federal immigration policy. The human rights screening and policy analysis tools that they've developed, and the emerging partnerships with law enforcement to address concerns over community and police relations in many different ways. And they are also instrumental in putting together the dialogue program, which has now moved to the Office of Human Relations. And it's been a thrill for Dora Perry and my office and I to work with the Human Rights Commissioners over the past 2 years. I want to recognize County Chair Kogan, who was the first chair of the commission, Abdul Majdi, who is the second chair, and now Danita Fry, who is the chair of the Human Rights Commission and who will give this introduce this presentation.
Well, good morning, commissioners, and welcome, community. And thank you for the opportunity to present our 2010 report. The vision of the commission began nearly 5 years ago with the work of the Human Relations Advisory Council. Commissioner Emily Godfrey and I participated in that formative process, and while I can't speak for Emily, I want to say that I am particularly honored and I feel so privileged to be actively engaged in this work still today. The HRC was commissioned to act as an advisory body to the City Council and as an independent, unbiased institution within our city government. It has authority to conduct studies and make recommendations to the mayor and city council regarding matters related to equity and discrimination, social justice, and policies that affect diverse communities. To date, we have submitted recommendations or policy analysis regarding the Sidewalk Management Ordinance, Arizona House Bill 1070, the DREAM Act, and Secure Communities. We have held community forums concerning the proposed oversight of the independent police review process, invited public testimony from agencies including the Coalition Against Hate Crimes, Coalition of Communities of Color, Sisters of the Road, the Urban League, and law enforcement officers working to address human trafficking. Most recently, we conducted a public hearing regarding the participation of the city with the JTTF, and our recommendations will be coming soon on that issue. What I have just mentioned are a few of the broad range of issues impacting and concerning our community. An effective human rights system relies on cooperation and participation of many players in its work. We have built strong relationships with and had the pleasure of working alongside many individuals who are skilled and engaged in upholding human rights, including non-government and government organizations, human rights advocates, and many different associations. I am grateful for the caring, skilled, and engaged commissioners who have given tirelessly of their time and energy and roll up their sleeves and dig in to promote the mission of the Human Rights Commission. I believe that we may represent the most diverse commission operating within the city of Portland, and among us, we hold a wealth of experience and knowledge. Our accomplishments span a broader spectrum than what is presented in our written report. So let me take this time to introduce some of the key players in letting unfold the story of the work that we've been engaged in for the past several years. Hector Lopez, who chairs our Community Police Relations Committee, O'Day and Daryl Kelly, who participated in that work, will step forward and outline the work of that committee.
Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to share with you the work that we have done over the past 18 months. Also would like to express thanks to Maria Lisa Johnson and her staff for the incredible resources that they provided for the Community and Police Relations Committee. Our mission statement says, to bring together members of Portland's diverse communities and its police officers to improve community and police relations, further an authentic community policing culture, and promote dignity, understanding, and respect in police and community interactions. When the commission came into being, City Council placed the racial profiling work that had been ongoing at that time in the hands of the Bureau and the Office of Human Relations. In consultation with the Human Rights Commission, it was determined that the racial profiling work would continue under the responsibility of the newly appointed Community and Police Relations Committee. Following are the strategies upon which the Bureau and the Committee are basing their work, and this comes from the Bureau's plan to address racial profiling. 4 points. One, create a bureau that reflects the city's diversity. Two, give officers concrete skills to help them on the streets. Three, to reach out to the community to build mutual trust and understanding. Four, collect and analyze the right data on police stops. One of the hardest tasks we had as we convened, 14 members make up the police, the Community and Police Relations Committee. Five members are from the larger community, at-large members, five police representatives, and four commissioners. Our hardest task was, how do we become a group that is focused on the issue of police profiling and other issues that policing in this city faces? We determined that this is the mandate you gave us. We had to work together, police, community, and commissioners. We had no choice. And so over the months, we have worked very hard to become that community of effective and viable groups of people working on this issue. We've been very intentional about learning about one another, discovering that the many differences as well as similarities among us make us quite human. We've shared life experiences, joys, disappointments, and hopes. And before we knew it, we had become a community dedicated to our mission statement. There is little that we cannot talk about. We share critiques and successes of the police, the community, the city, and the world at large. No matter how difficult or contentious the discussions may be, they have not damaged the growing relationship or integrity of the group. Over the course of these past 18 months, with the excellent leadership first of Chief Martinek and now with Chief O'Day, we have seen the Bureau's openness, greater transparency, and a willingness to partner with community to create the level of ownership needed for effective and creative community policing to succeed. At the invitation of the Bureau, the committee is currently dedicating time to a careful analysis of the intersect between race and use of force. It is conducting a review of policies and practices that the Portland Police Bureau is pursuing to address racial profiling and reviewing the use of force policy. The committee will soon make recommendations to the Bureau. We've also discovered that the Portland Police Bureau leads the nation on the standard of utilizing minimal use of force in its policing. The members of the committee are committed and dedicated about healing the divides between police and communities, and we must now communicate better those programs that are successful in the Bureau, as well as continuing to move forward to address the many challenges yet remaining. I would now like to introduce Assistant Chief O'Day, who has rapidly become not only a full participant of the committee over the last several months, but has already recommended significant guidance for us, such as asking the committee to review the policies of use of force and to develop recommendations to the Bureau. Chief O'Day.
Thank you, sir. Mr. President, Commissioners, thank you for this opportunity. I'm Larry O'Day. I'm one of your assistant chiefs and a member of the Community and Police Relations Committee, also known as the CPRC. I'm here today to express my thanks for your support of the Office of Human Relations and specifically the CPRC. The CPRC is made up of human rights commissioners, community members, and officers, supervisors, and command staff of the Portland Police Bureau. I've been a police officer for 25 years and a member of many different groups and committees over that time. One of our difficulties is finding partners who are willing to engage in difficult yet respectful dialogue and to do so from an informed perspective. It is very important to the Police Bureau to have policies, practices, and training in line with what's important to the community. This can be difficult to determine at times when we're discussing emotionally charged issues such as use of force and racial profiling. The CPRC has created an environment that's based on trust, understanding, and respect. This effective relationship allows the group to have genuine discussion around these emotionally charged topics and to do so from an informed perspective. Members in this group take the time to learn why each of us do what we do or why we think the way we do, be it from history, from our training, or our personal experiences. The group is then able to build understanding, change mindsets, and make informed recommendations and changes. In many ways, I feel like the work of the CPRC has just begun. We've worked on racial profiling issues. We've worked on issues created between community, law enforcement, and the Immigrations and Customs Enforcement. Currently, we're doing an in-depth review of the Police Bureau's use of force policy. The results of this process will be thoughtful and informed recommendations that will better help the Police Bureau's policies, practices, and training to be in line with community expectations. I look forward to the continued work of the CPRC and believe it can be effective in many more areas, such as improving diversity in our hiring and promotional processes. I see this committee as one of the most effective venues for creating healing, understanding, and promoting genuine respect and understanding in police and community relations. I thank you all for your continued support of this committee. I will now introduce Mr. Daryl Kelly. Daryl is one of our community members on the CPRC and is a good example of what involved community members can help accomplish.
Thank you. Daryl Kelly, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak. Well, being a part of the CPRC has allowed me a great opportunity to build relationships with police officers within the community and discuss, have great dialogue about different ways to be effective with the community policing, which I'm happy that they're going forward with in the community. I've had opportunity to talk with new recruits to the Portland Police Bureau just about the relationship with the black community and the police and the history and the pain that is felt through the black community with different incidents that have happened with the police bureau, such as we can go back to shootings that happened over the past years, officer-involved shootings with African-Americans in the community. We're working on ways to talk about ways that can deal with different things, how to build those relationships within the black community, and how we also view the police within the community, such as, the use of force, how people in the community feel police officers are only out to get them and things like that, but also understanding that it's also the community's responsibility, African-American community, speaking for my community, responsibility to go forth and build relationships with police officers to also band-aid this problem so that we can move forward. We understand that we take a huge step forward, but it's also when something happens bad with a police officer, it's a huge step back. They're kind of under a huge microscope. They don't get a lot of praise for the things that they do that are good, but they get a lot of scrutiny for the things that they do that are bad. And understanding that and kind of like communicating that with people in the community. This committee has been excellent for me. It has allowed me to actually open my eyes to the difficulties that surround the jobs of police officers. And also to take it back to the community and communicate that with people who are close to me. I grew up in Northeast Portland. I was a part of gangs as a youth. I went on to go to college, and, I'm currently working at Portland State University as an advisor for youth, things like that. But I still had pain in my heart and in my future that I went through with police officers. And being a part of this has really allowed me the opportunity to grow. I had opportunity to take some students out. 10 students out with 12 police officers to do some bowling and some golfing for a day, which was an excellent, immeasurable experience for those students where they got to communicate, have fun with officers, see them out of their uniforms, actually get to know them as fun people and not just the serious people that they have to be when they're working. It's an excellent opportunity. It's an excellent thing that I feel that the police bureau is doing a much better job with the community relations. I got pulled over the other day. The cop was real nice. He still gave me a ticket, but he was extremely nice. The interaction with him was a lot better.
That's been my experience as well.
But the experience has just been a lot better. I wasn't expecting the worst from him as I did in the past. So to continue this and to keep it going, but to take it more public and into the community and with the support of the city of Portland, the mayor, the commissioners, I believe would be a good thing to put the positive aspects of our police community as well as our community at large in the city of Portland, including all police branches, the sheriffs, Portland police, the police at Portland State University would be a great thing for this community so we can start healing this problem that we have and to bridge the gap between the police community and our community as whole with just the living room dialogues and the fun events that we did with the students. I believe we have to start with our youth because sometimes the problem with our adults are hard to heal. Old habits are hard to break or old feelings are hard to break. But with our youth, if we reach out to them, I believe that we can start to heal this problem and to make things a lot better. I appreciate the opportunity to speak. I appreciate the officers that come in and spend time with us and listen to us. And sometimes we banter back and forth or whatever, but we move forward. And it's been a real productive process. So thank you.
Well, Mr. Turner, Chief O'Day, and Mr. Lopez, thank you so much for your work on this committee. It truly is groundbreaking, and it's done one meeting at a time, one conversation at a time, one golf game at a time. And thank you very much.
Thank you for the three of you sharing your words. And I have the privilege of also serving on the CPRC. You guys will hear me use the word privilege often because this work is such a privilege. I heard Chief O'Day mention that it feels like our work has just begun. And even though we're years into this work, it's rich and it's rewarding, and there's so much more that we can do to strengthen relationships between community and police. And I'm looking forward to, in our future work, to take going out into the community more and providing our, having our meetings held in public spaces so the community can really see that sometimes the perception that the community holds and the reality of the work that we're doing it are on in two different places. And really, we're all working for a common goal, and it's rich and rewarding work. So one of the other things that we're doing as the commission is the intergroup dialogues on race and racism, and this is reaching out into the community and really having an impact on our individual community members who are engaging in the work. And so I'd like to introduce Emily Gottfried, who chairs the Committee on Intergroup Understanding, along with Emily Sternick and Will Fuller, who are, have been participants of past dialogues. Welcome your testimony.
Good morning.
Welcome.
The Committee for Intergroup Understanding, or CIGU as we fondly like to call it, has focused primarily on launching and nurturing the intergroup dialogues focused on race. The dialogues help participants explore how a person's innermost feelings about race and the actions that result from those sentiments affect our community. Dialogue group members work through commonalities and differences, through pain and uncomfortable realizations, to come to a greater understanding of what it means to be a person of color or a white person right now here in Portland. The intergroup dialogue process honors the need for healing around both the past and present harms of injustice and oppression. The Committee for Intergroup Understanding and the members of the Human Rights Commission believe that these dialogues will truly make a difference in our community. In fact, they already are making a difference in our community. Through sustained, meaningful intergroup dialogue, community members can do the important work of addressing conflict and promoting the creation of a just society. So in the fall of 2009, 22 people, including many of the people in this audience today, received intense training to learn to become facilitators for these dialogues. Several human rights commissioners, including me, were part of this initial group. As trainees, we are now facilitators for the dialogue groups that have since formed. More than 100 community members from a wide range of community groups will have participated in 8 different dialogues by the end of June, and more are planned for the rest of 2011 and beyond. I am personally looking forward to facilitating my first dialogue series in the next few months. A new Train the Trainer program is a planned next step in this project so that many more people will be able to facilitate a growing number of dialogue groups. As part of the evaluation process for this project, members of the Committee for Intergroup Understanding interviewed participants in the dialogue groups after the close of each series. I interviewed 13 people myself, and these were amazing, amazing, sometimes two-hour conversations with people about this dialogue process. Through those interviews, I heard how deeply so many of the dialogue members were affected by their experience. Here are a few quotes from my interviews. Here's the first one. I am hopeful. The dialogues are a reminder that there are people that are actively working on this important issue. I'm proud of our group because we're continuing. We were just starting to get to the nitty-gritty of difficult situations and prejudices. We need to build courage together. Here's another quote. Everyone should go through at least one experience like this. Another person. The experience works in subtle ways. It will change the way you see things. Another. I don't see a lot of people of color in everyday life, but now I am more comfortable when I do. Now I can see a potential friend rather than this person is different. And finally, the dialogues are planting the seed. We have to nurture it. The Intergroup Dialogue Program has been an enormous success. So successful that, as Commissioner Fritz mentioned, the Human Rights Commission recommended that the program move from the current volunteer-led model to becoming an ongoing program of the Office of Human Relations. And we're thrilled that all of you are as committed to supporting this important tool to break down the barriers of racism in our city as we are. With the Intergroup Dialogue Program moving out of our purview, the Committee for Intergroup Understanding is now beginning to plan for other new activities related to our mission. We look forward to reporting to you next year about those endeavors. But now you are going to hear the direct words from dialogue participants, from Emily Sitnick and Will Fuller, and then Officer Jim Quackenbush. Emily?
Thank you. Thanks. My name is Emily Sitnick. Thanks for allowing me to speak today. I'm a little nervous, so bear with me. I've lived in Portland my whole life, and I've experienced segregation and apathy towards the division of races here, starting in grade school. Sorry. And while Portland may be seen as a progressive, liberal, and green city, as a person of color, I experience isolation in my everyday life based on the color of my skin. And I can only speak from my own personal experience through the dialogues, but I can tell you that it's been a very hard, sometimes painful, but ultimately really rewarding experience for me, and I'm so honored to have been able to participate through OHR. I'm acutely aware of the stereotypical characteristics of Latinos. I spent 24 years of my life feeling like I needed to separate myself from my ethnicity because I was embarrassed of how images of wetbacks, beaners, and illegals reflected upon myself. Because of that, I was helpless and powerless to interrupt racism in my own world, and therefore had to retreat from any conversation about racism and race relations. The separation caused pain, which turned into my inability to have any kind of healing dialogue regarding race relations and racism in my community. Being able to regain my own sense of power and personal awareness through these sessions is a priceless gift. And I'm not talking about power in a dominant sense, but a decisive power as a Latina to assert myself in a personal, non-confrontational way to talk about racism and injustice that I see happening in my world today. Simply being able to take back this power and ownership of my ethnicity, as well as acknowledging my own prejudices and giving me the ability to engage in dialogue, not arguments, about race relations is a complete 180 from where I was a year ago. Owning one's power and self-esteem creates opportunity for progressive movements to ebb the enormous social consequences of racism. This is not only about racism, but standing up for yourself and your community wherever you see injustice. This experience will stay with me for the rest of my life, and I hope to spend the next 65 years of my life continuing to be a leader in my community and using these dialogues as a tool for growth. Thank you.
Wow. I want to say thank you for funding the Office of Human Relations Intergroup Dialogues. Now, I was in the first dialogue group back in February of last year among people of different racial groups. Today, I want to share with you what I got from the experience on three levels. First, myself as an individual. Second, what effect it's had on me and my neighborhood. And finally, the potential effects on the city as a whole. As an individual, I learned new ways to deal with racism. Now, I have an unusually wide variety of experiences around race, so it's hard to teach this old dog new tricks. So when I say I learned new tricks, new things about myself and others in these dialogues, that's saying something. As a neighbor and as chair of the Southwest Neighborhoods Schools Committee, encouraged and guided by what I learned in these dialogues, I hope to bring about an evening of intercultural sharing of family stories between Southwest Portland residents and eighth grade students at Robert Gray and Jackson Middle Schools, where participants came away with new understanding and appreciation of the cultural diversity in this city. Institutional racism in Portland is as strong as anywhere I have lived, including the South. But it often shows as a Portland polite, averting of the eyes, a cultural unseeing that does not depend on racists to promote racism. Effective anti-racism activities here require means that fit our particular, specific sorts of racism. These dialogues, with their carefully constructed mix of comfort and confrontation, provide a safe place for people to be natural with enough positive stress that people can reach the learning edge of their comfort zones. In short, these dialogues provide an important new tool in the vital, ongoing effort to end racism in Portland. Thank you.
Jim? This is Officer Jim Quackenbush, a fellow facilitator and a dialogue participant.
Esteemed members of Portland City Council, I am Officer James Quackenbush of the Portland Police Bureau's North Precinct, and I come before you today to express my sincere gratitude for your support of the work of the Office of Human Relations, and specifically, the Intergroup Dialogue Program. I had the honor of being selected as both a participant and a facilitator for the program in September of 2009. Since then, I'm happy to report that extensive training has taken place to prepare those of us in the program. Curriculum has been developed, alliances have been formed, and further recruitment has been pursued. Numerous groups have already met and made commitments to come together for positive social change. The healing process has begun. I have been a police officer for the citizens of North Portland for 12 years. I chose to work in North Portland primarily because of the incredible challenges that I saw within the African American community. I sought to help create a safe community, free of gang warfare and crack cocaine. More than anything, however, I longed to restore trust between the African-American community and their civil servants. I wanted us to be allies, not adversaries. Over the years, I've witnessed countless challenges develop further between our communities. I've watched the gentrification of Inner Northeast Portland, which has further divided the white community and communities of color. I've seen the physical, emotional, and psychological carnage that results from deadly police encounters for all of us that are involved. I will tell you that there are no winners in these scenarios. We all lose. However, I have also seen families reunited, addictions overcome, and peace restored. Although these sort of stories rarely make headlines, I assure you that they do occur and with enough frequency to make police work worthwhile. I have also seen trust regained, relationships healed, and camaraderie developed. I believe that the most important bonds that form are interpersonal, one-on-one, and occur over time. This sort of progress is also unlikely to make the evening news. Finally, the most dramatic strides in relations that I have seen have been within the context of the intergroup dialogue. Here you have a model of 12 to 14 complete strangers from all walks of life, half that identify as persons of color and half as white. And we talk, but this is not just about a polite conversation, nor is it about a heated argument that someone's trying to win. It is about truly seeking to understand one another. It is about both repairing and building up a relationship and realizing that we all come from a good place. It is the impact of our actions that we need to reevaluate, not our intent. So as we continue this important work into 2011, I would like to thank every one of you once again for your support of the program. As the African American community continues to reach out to the police bureau, I, for one, am convinced that this is an effective vehicle for our conversation. I will continue to wait at the table and anticipate great things. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Emily, if somebody wants to get involved in this, how would they do that?
In fact, we are just setting up a couple of new dialogues, which are to begin one next week. Is that correct? Where's Kofi? One is beginning Saturday, and one is beginning the following week. And all they have to do is contact the Office of Human Relations. Contact Kofi Dissou at the Office of Human Relations.
Well, that sharing of our stories and the work that we've been engaged in just brings a smile to my face. It warms my heart. It brings a tear to my eye because I've had the privilege of being involved with so many aspects of this. I feel uncomfortable being up here a lone soldier in front of you and wanted to take a minute and ask everybody to stand in the room that has participated and somehow been involved in the work that we're doing I'm so grateful for the Office of Human Relations to build these strong relationships within our community. And I didn't mean stand, but I want to acknowledge all the people in the room that participate. Raise your hands, please. Thank you so much. So in conclusion, I've just written some words that human rights encompass a wide variety of rights. They are universal and moral. Portland has undergone dramatic changes in the past 25 years and look forward to similar changes in the next 25 years. It has become a city of much greater diversity, a combination of different races and cultures, religions and beliefs, experiences and traditions that have immensely enriched the culture of life, economy, and of the future of our city. Human rights attach to all persons equally by virtue of humanity, irrespective of race, nationality, or membership and identity of any particular social group. It is the one thing that we all have in common. I thank our dedicated staff, led by Director Maria Lisa Johnson, who continue to help us reach out into the community to deeper explore and highlight human rights concerns within our city. I look forward to working with each of you individually and hopefully on a more closer personal level this coming years, and invite you to come and participate in our meetings as well. Human rights begin within every individual in this room, within our homes, within our schools, our workplace, and within the neighborhoods that we live in. There are different ways of protecting human rights, and this commission is committed to helping our city be conscious of the way we are upholding these rights. Last year, I provided testimony to City Council, which recognized that as a city, nationally, we're known for our progressive ways, our commitment to sustainability, and as a green city. And I challenged that wouldn't it be wonderful if we were known as a city of equity? And we're making strides and moving in that direction together as community members and as our elected officials. I'm wondering now, to add to that, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were known nationally also for a city that's accountable to our human rights of our individual city members? So with that, we look forward to the work ahead. To sustaining the rights of future generations. The work that we're doing today is vision work. It's long-lasting, and I'm so grateful that we are all here to work towards that together. Thank you for the time.
You're done. Well, I just want to say that this was a very impressive hearing today, and I was sitting here remembering when we created the Human Rights Commission under the leadership of Mayor Potter, that one of the discussion points was that that had been tried before at the county and the city level and was dissolved because of the lack of interest, I guess is the best way to put it. And so I was trying to figure out how we could have this kind of impassioned testimony and somehow pair that up with there being no interest. And I think intuitively I know the answer, and the answer is that while there have been other attempts to bring the community together, what they've lacked is effective and impassioned political leadership, which Commissioner Fritz brings to this task. And so I think that the future for the Human Rights Commission probably wouldn't have had a whole lot of a different outcome, but for the impassioned leadership that Commissioner Fritz brings to this assignment. And I know we all recognize that on council, and I appreciate it. And want to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. And to follow up from that, I think part of my passion is empowering citizens to do the good work that they do. And so part of my learning curve was to realize how independent the Human Rights Commission is and to figure out how the Office of Human Relations as a city bureau can foster, encourage, and support citizens in doing what you do so well. So I'm honored to be associated with the Human Rights Commission and will continue. It's an odd role for a champion to recognize that you're completely independent, and that's the way I can best support you. I also want to recognize the leadership of Mary Lisa Johnson, the director of the Office of Human Relations, who has a similarly challenging role in being responsive both to me as her city commissioner and to the Human Rights Commission as having input into the work. It's been a collaborative process, and as an example of the dialogue group starting as an initiative of the Human Rights Commission, and then all of us realizing this needs to be something that the city staff need to do. And I thank Kofi Dusu for taking that on. Paolo Catalani works with our immigrant and refugee communities and is a leader in so many different ways in integrating the New Portlanders into city processes. And Muna Mohammed has also been extremely helpful in working with the Human Rights Commission on education, on peace building, on knowledge of different issues. So we're small but mighty, and we show what a few staff can do. And yet I echo Danita's desire that we cannot be truly a sustainable city in economics and in environmental sustainability unless we're also socially sustainable, and that we recognize equity and accountability to each other as a core component of what we fundamentally all believe. And how do we evidence that? How do we enact that? How do we institutionalize it is not the right word, because there's a lot of institutional things that are wrong, but how do we make that part of who we are and how we behave and how we help each other become the greatest people that we can be? So does anybody want to testify in addition?
Yes, I was going to say that Carla points out that we are not going to be the last speakers on the subject, that we have a list of people to testify.
Okay.
So I misunderstood. So go ahead.
Six people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Mike Krebs, Alan Laszlo, and Nathan Holst.
Good morning.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Mike Krebs. I am the Commander of Transit Police of the Portland Police Bureau. And I've been a member of the CPRC since its inception. I want to let you know that it's money well spent. It's been a very enjoyable time. I've gone there, and there's been very candid dialogue. And I think that by us going there and meeting, I think that the leaders that are on the committee then take that information back to their particular organization. I think that it spreads itself far and wide. And so even though it's a small group, I think it has, the tentacles go far and wide to have an impact on the entire Portland community. I want to thank Marie-Lisa Johnson. I met her about 2 years ago, and I'm very impressed with her and her whole crew over there. You have Paolo and Muna and Kofi, and they do a great job. And I want to, it's money well spent for you folks. So I would ask that you continue to support their organization and the CPRC, because I think it's having an impact on our community. So thank you.
So my name is Nathan Holst, and just wanted to say I'm really humbled by all the testimonies that came before. They were pretty incredible, so I just have a couple things to add to that, I guess. So over the last year and a half, I've been a part of the exciting process you've heard about that I feel like is just beginning to bloom. In 2009, I joined about 20 folks who were trained as intergroup dialogue facilitators, as you've heard about. For me, it was an intense learning process, but it felt like a really good starting block to beginning community dialogues that winter. Because we had more facilitators than groups when we began, I joined a dialogue as a participant and completed the 8-week experience. Though the dialogue itself was rich with learning moments, sometimes gentle and sometimes painful, it was what came after that had the most lasting impact on me. After we finished, a good majority of us decided to continue to meet twice a month to continue the dialogue and to get to know one another better. We decided to rotate who facilitated each dialogue so we would each have a chance to lead and practice facilitating. A year later, we are still meeting, and we have built both lasting friendships and common commitment to racial equity. As a white person who usually doesn't have to consider race, I feel my friends of color close to me when I see racism happen before me, and when I'm courageous, choose to interrupt it. Finally, I'm excited that we have connected with other OHR dialogue groups that also continue to meet as we do, and are now considering what concrete action we might take together to work for racial justice. It's truly an exciting time to be involved with these dialogues, and I wanted to just to say thank you for the support you give to the program, and that it's really an investment in a healthier community.
Thank you, Nathan.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thanks for the opportunity to provide this update about the work of the Human Rights Commission. My name is Alan Laszlo. I'm a human rights commissioner, and I'm one of the trained facilitators in the intergroup dialogue program. And I sat in this same place about 12 months ago as part of the Office of Human Relations Budget Advisory Committee. And at that point, I spoke to you about my involvement with the Intergroup Dialogue Program. At that time, I was also just about to be appointed to the Human Rights Commission. I'd completed the dialogue training, facilitation training, but still had not yet participated in or facilitated a dialogue series. And now, a year later, I'm here to tell you what a year it has been for me. If part of what we're doing here this morning is trying to mark the success of the work of the Human Rights Commission, and if part of your expectation of how we measure that success includes the work we've done in educating about and advocating for vulnerable communities, engaging members of our increasingly diverse community, and inspiring those members of those communities to take action to improve intercultural relations in our city, then I can do nothing but call this past year a resounding success for us. I can speak most passionately about my own experiences over the past year, and as someone who has lived, worked, and played in the city of Portland for more than 40 years. As I mentioned, I sat in this room about a year ago, and at that time I realized I had never been in the Portland City Council chambers in 40 years. And since that time over the past year, this is my third visit. Over the past year, as a member of the Human Rights Commission, I've sat with members of the public to continue educating ourselves about topics ranging from the toxic environment for people of color, as pointed out in the report from the Coalition of Communities of Color, to labor trafficking, to the Joint Terrorism Task Force, and on to immigration. We, together with the public, have analyzed the effects of policy on vulnerable communities, such as those struggling with homelessness and those who are immigrants to our country. But perhaps to me, the most important aspect of the work I've undertaken over the year has been the intergroup dialogues. I've had the opportunity to co-facilitate two intergroup dialogues on racism in the past year. I've sat in dialogue with people from among many organizations, the City of Portland, Multnomah County, Portland Public Schools, the Portland Police Bureau, and neighborhood associations. And with people from every corner, from far outreaching stretches of Portland, from North Portland to outer East Portland. In these meaningful engagements, I've heard people walk away and talk about never forgetting the experience they had in these dialogues and taking what they've learned in the dialogue to work with them every day and using it. So finally, I didn't want to leave here today without taking the opportunity to thank you for the wonderful and fulfilling year that I have had, and that I couldn't have done this work without the support of this body, without the support of Commissioner Fritz and her office, and especially for the work and the dedication of Maria Lisa and her staff at the Office of Human Relations. So thank you.
Thank you, Alan. Next three, Carla.
Next three are Dr. Herman M. Frankel, Abdul Majidi, and Mike O'Callaghan.
Why don't you start, Dr. Frankel?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm Dr. Herman Frankel. My wife Ruth and I have been living and working and playing and celebrating in Portland since 1965. In addition to thanking you for your courage and integrity in establishing and supporting the Office of Human Relations and the Human Rights Committee, and in addition to wanting to join in the celebration of the work that they have been doing and its members have been doing, I want to bring us back to just a few days over 3 years ago, January 16th, 2008. Remember the hearing in Jefferson High School. I remember saying at that time, and I won't lead us in song at today's meeting as I did, unless there's a demand for that.
I make no such promise.
I remember saying that if we're going to focus on promoting and protecting human rights, we need to start with, and I remember we had displayed on the walls in the auditorium posters of the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights, beginning with the affirmation that all human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and need to act towards one another in a spirit of brotherhood. Todos los seres humanos nacen libres e iguales en dignidad y derechos y dotados como están de razón y conciencia, deben comportarse fraternalmente los unos con los otros. In Arabic, the sentence begins, Yuladu Jamiunas. In Chinese, Zhenzhen Shenger Jiyo. In Japanese, Subite no Ninginwa. All human beings. And this was when we burst into song. Let's do that. And that's what you're facilitating. And that's what you're making it possible for the members and allies of the Office of Human Relations and the Human Rights Commission and the staffs to be facilitating in the community. And for that, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, because that's what it's all about. Every day, starting in Portland, every one of us needs to continue working together to make the world a better place, one interaction at a time. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Frankel. Abdul?
Good morning, commissioners, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. My name is Abdul Majidi, and also I'm a member of the Human Rights Commission, as well as of Community and Police Relations. First, I would really appreciate and thank a lot our community that brought forward to your council the attention and needs of a commission as this one, Human Rights Commission. Also, I would like to applaud and recognize Mayor Tom Potter and the commissioners who were at that time there. And also I would thank the new commissioners for carrying on that and making sure that this commission exists and will continue to exist. I would like not to remind us or bring to our attentions, we know what's happening now in the world. Starting with Tunisia, Egypt, who knows, maybe next Oman, Amman, Algeria, or other places. But this spreads out quickly, especially in today's technology. So what's basically these people have been asking for years and years? They are asking for simple things as freedom of speech, to be recognized, freedom of living, and also of education. For us here, we take it as given, but in other countries, they fight for it daily. How many thousands of lives died for that reason, just to survive every day, to learn and educate and share what they think. So I take this opportunity to thank you so much for offering that to our community. We are not there yet. Like the lady mentioned earlier, that Portland from outside, actually when I was in another commission in Washington of human rights, when I wanted to move to Portland, the commission members, some of them sat me down and say, are you sure? I said, yes, because I went there and they heard how open-minded this. He said, no, let me show you the map. It scared me. Coming to Portland. But in the same time, energized me more to come to Portland. The first question I asked when I came to Portland, do we have a human rights commission? Sadly enough, I heard no. The worst I heard was disseminated, it used to be. So I was really excited when I heard it's coming back. I really appreciate you for that. I had a visitor from, multiple visitors I assist with, the Visitors International, also with Department of State, and some other entities that they come to visit me here in Portland. And one of them was from United Nations Human Rights Office in Vienna. And when he came to meet me for a day here in Portland, before he left to New York and back to Vienna, first question asked me, he said, Abdul, do you have a human rights commission here? I said, yes. And the first thing he asked me, is it appointed by political entities? I said, yes. How independent is it? I said, very independent. And he told me, that is what I will take back about Portland. Another Iraqi group came here and toured it as religious leaders, politician leaders. I sat with them in a confidential place, and they asked me the same question. How do you feel here as a Muslim, as an Arab, as a citizen in this community? And they had to share with him how I feel and how independent we are as a Human Rights Commission, but we still are not there yet. So I applaud all of you. Thank you, Amanda Freds and Dora as well. I would like to recognize her of staying late with us and coming to our meetings, and sorry about going over time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Abdul. Mike?
Thank you, commissioners. I like the word e-racism. Isn't that nice? Well, when I was here last time, I was doing a poll of homeless, and the homeless is defined as sleeping outside by the poll takers. I've got 75 people I've polled. 15 of them actually have been polled, so 5-1 is the standard. So whatever number you get, multiply times 5, and you'll know how many people are sleeping outside. Okay? Another thing, while I was in jail, I was abducted twice by the Portland Police Department and the Parks Department. I polled the people in jail. How many homeless people do you put through here a night? One lady said 40 a night. Another said 20 to 30 per shift. Just some stats, okay? My issue is due process. Don't have it, okay? All these activities are criminal on my behalf. Sleeping gear, tent, tarp, any structure, sleeping under bridges, cooking, having a fire, public excretion, drinking alcohol, public nudity, public sex, sitting in certain areas, trespass, public nuisance, and failure to obey. I am, by definition, a criminal, subjected at any time to any authority's harassment. Due process. I don't have time to really explain the entire thing. Due process protects us from you, we the people, from government. Government, if it alleges we have violated a law, it is incumbent on government to give us a citation. A citation, in this particular case, is defined by state of Oregon by statute. Give me a citation, it cites a law that says I violated, and it gives me appeal rights. In the 16 months that Parks has been harassing me, they have never issued me a citation. Neither has the Portland Police Department. Now, I would like to go down a list of these hate crimes I've been subjected to. This is a hate crime against the poor. Due process through Parks exclusion and a failure to give citations and theft of property, unlawful arrest twice, unlawful search and seizure going in my tent, seizing going through my paperwork, theft by police of my Cadillac shack right out in front of City Hall here on October 18th, illegal seizure of property, move it or we'll steal it notices. I've saved 7 of them. None of them have authority of law. There's no citation on them. Unlawful harassment in the silver bullet, I express that to you, 13 days, 16 contacts with officers. The Department of Parks, 2 years failure to control their employees and repeated violations of my civil rights. The Portland Police failure to act to stay pending appeals, park exclusion resulted in another unlawful arrest. I've been incarcerated and taken to jail twice, and I haven't been given a citation. Okay, I've sued you people. Okay, I have talked to your office for a year and a half, and they have failed to control your employee. That is unfortunate. Okay, they came, the police and Parks, posted a notice on my shack where I live, and they came yesterday and destroyed my house. No lawful authority.
Can we wrap it up, Mike?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else on the list?
Thank you.
Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz?
Well, thank you, Mr. Callahan, for that reminder that we still have many challenges and we have many people who feel and experience challenges in our city. And I want to thank Tricia Knoll and Arwin Bird, who were at the Sidewalks Advisory Committee this past Monday. And this report, while it seems like a lot of work already, it only scratches the surface of all of the processes and issues that the Human Rights Commission is engaged in. And I thank you, thank you, thank you for all of your work. It's amazing work by volunteers. And coming here on a Wednesday morning is a significant dedication and donation of your time. And I greatly appreciate the fact that the Human Rights Commission, this Human Rights Commission, is acknowledged as an entity which is working and which is doing good things and which we want to encourage and work with. Mr. Majidi, I apologize for meshing your name. Mr. Kelly, I apologize for missing his name entirely. What I've learned in 2 years as the commissioner who is the liaison to the Human Rights Commission is that we need to listen to each other's hearts, and we listen to the words and we work through how the words are being perceived, and that's important. And if you Some people might say, well, we've got 100 people in the dialogue group. We've got 550,000 people in the city of Portland. That's a drop in the bucket. But those 100 people are going to talk to 10 people each, and then those people will talk to 10 people. And we don't change hearts and minds by the five of us on the council enacting policies. What we do